The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Stevie Nicol. We also welcome to the programme, look at this lineup: Ian Dark with his fancy new headphones, Jan Arga Fjortoff is with us, as is Craig Burley. Of course, it is the final week of the Premier League season. One match remaining, and it's all about the battle for the top four between Chelsea, Liverpool and Leicester City. A win for Chelsea and they're fine, the same for Liverpool as well, unless Leicester run up the score against Spurs. But in theory, Leicester will be hoping that Chelsea or Liverpool drop points and they can snatch a place in the Champions League next season. I suppose that's a tradition, isn't it? Before the last week of the season, we take a look at the predictions. Craig was the only one who would predict Manchester City to be the winners, everyone else going for Liverpool. In fact, everyone's got pretty much right regarding the teams, with the exception of Ian, who had Arsenal in the top four and not Chelsea. Oh, Ian.
Yeah, I know. I thought at the time, it's a long way back, they'd won the FA Cup. I thought they were on an upward trend. They started the season well, and it's all gone to pot, basically. So, wrong prediction. But I was laughed at when I predicted Manchester United to finish second. At the time, because they were way down in the table and they are going to finish second.
Ian, I can't imagine anyone laughing at you.
No.
Oh, it happens all the time. Don't worry about that. Usually when I'm commentating.
Of course, as things stand, as I mentioned, Chelsea and indeed Liverpool have it both in their own hands. Craig, can you see them slipping up at all?
I thought, by the way, I thought Ian predicted at the start of the season Man United to win the league. I think somebody's finagled that back round to help him out there.
No, I didn't.
No, well, I'm not sure about that.
But, that was wrong as well, by the way.
I, as I said a couple of weeks ago, or whenever it was, I thought it was Liverpool, I'd be feeling quite good. And I know Stevie wasn't sure if they were going to put a run together, but the fixtures were encouraging. So if I'm Liverpool come Sunday morning, I'm feeling good that I'm going to get the job done. If I'm the other two, I'm more concerned, primarily because, you know, Leicester, as you say, we might have to run up a rack of goals.
Yeah.
And it's no pushover for Chelsea going to Villa Park. You know, they drew, I think, earlier in the season at Stamford Bridge. Villa are a threat up front. So, yeah, I expect Liverpool to take care of business, and I think it could be down to the other two just to see who chokes.
Yeah, and do you agree, out of those three teams, you want to be Liverpool at the moment?
Yes, you do. And I think that when you have a look at the table, I thought Liverpool would win at that time. We didn't know about the injuries and we didn't know that Guardiola will sort out this defence and not go for every attack going forward. But I still feel that Liverpool, although there is a script with Roy Hodgson coming back to Anfield, we have seen those stories before. Leicester will beat Tottenham at home and then it's up to Chelsea. We'll see how concentrated Chelsea are on this task. I think Tuchel will have them going, but I'm not sure that this is over and done yet with the top four. If it ends up like it is now, we can say that everybody got what they deserve. Four in the Champions League and Leicester City get the FA Cup, and then everybody's happy.
How are you feeling? You all right?
Absolutely confident.
Oh, absolutely. Ooh, the worm has turned.
Everything the boys have said, I completely agree with. I don't see Roy Hodgson going back to Liverpool having anything to do with this result. In fact, Crystal Palace are in a bit of turmoil, really. Most of their team have no idea what's going to be happening next season. And all the talk of, well, every game's a final for them because they want to show how... Listen, half of that side are past their best. Half of that side are looking to, if they're lucky, stay in the Premier League. So I just don't see any way right now how Liverpool can lose this game. The one I'm worried about is Chelsea. No question.
It was interesting that Jan said, I wonder what, you know, Tuchel will do, whether he'll tinker, what you know. Mm. No, he can't. He tinkered in the FA Cup final and lost. deservedly so. I know he's got the Champions League final coming up a week or so later, but he has to forget about that. I mean, if he's got to play his strongest team, and if he picks up a couple of injuries, that's the way it is. He cannot afford, after coming in and doing the job he's done, for it all to unravel by trying to be a little bit too clever, because Villa are not a poor side. So he's going to have to, Champions League final or not, play his strongest team. We saw N'Golo Kanté taking off in the middle of the week. We don't know how fit he is. That's a concern. He said he felt his hamstring a bit tight, but nothing too bad. So he's going to have to figure out how he balances players with little niggles and potentially missing out on the Champions League via the league position. Right, he might get it via the Champions League itself, but they're not favourites.
Well, I agree with you, Greg. What you're saying.
Villa had that win, didn't they, in the week? Villa had that win at Tottenham, didn't they, in the week? I thought they were on the beach before that, but I think they're suddenly ignited again. And I wonder if they could make it difficult for Chelsea on the last day, because even a draw for Chelsea there, and it starts to look a bit dodgy for them, doesn't it? So that's something definitely to take into account. But I do think Chelsea will get it done just in a tight game. But I think there might be some twists and turns on the day. I wonder whether Tottenham, Harry Kane's final game, whether they might just do something at Leicester, who have slipped up at home a few times. They lost at home to Fulham. They lost at home to Newcastle.
Go on, Jan.
But I just thinking of what Craig is saying. Yes, I think Tuchel will do everything. He will do his best team, and he will say, if somebody miss out on the Champions League, so be it. I'm just wondering the mental state when the goings get tough now, because I think this will be tight. I think Aston Villa can do something at home against the Chelsea Football Club, and it's 1 week to go till the Champions League. And Craig, what I try to say is that if you lose a bit concentration, they could slip up on the most important game. You could even say this is more important than a Champions League final, if you say it in a long perspective.
And meanwhile, you take a look at Leicester, Ian. I think some people have been quite harsh on them over the last few weeks, saying, oh, look, they've bottled it again. It's just a case that these other teams have got bigger squads and the injuries really took their toll, no?
Yeah, well, there's an element of that. They messed it up last year. They were in the top four nearly all season and they didn't finish in the top four. Looks like being the same again for them, barring some mathematical somersaults on the last day. But if you'd said to Leicester City fans last week, this time last week, you can win the FA Cup, but you won't be in the top four, they'd have taken that. They'd never won the FA Cup in their history. Fantastic emotional day. You can never take that away from them. They'd have preferred the top four as well, but it looks like they will slip out again.
From their perspective, Craig, how easy is it to go out on the last day of the season and just get the job done without being distracted by what's going on elsewhere?
Who are you talking about?
Leicester.
Oh, Leicester. I mean, I think it's pretty easy for Leicester because, you know, they've just got to do what they're going to have to do and take care of the business. And you know, I can't imagine they're, you know, if they're losing or drawing the game or whatever, they're asking what's happening at other games. They've got it. Maybe, I'm sure Brendan Rodgers and his staff will know what's happening. But you've just got to get the job done. Look, they've lost Evans recently, that's a blow. They lost Madison to injury, he came back, he wasn't playing well. One of the biggest blows, they lost young James Justin, who has played all across the back four, a superb young player they got from Luton. You know, I talk about him a lot. I think he would have been pushing for Southgate's squad. They lost him with an ACL. So they've actually coped not too bad, considering the squad they've got. And I would actually hate to see them slip up, but I agree. That, you know, for them, winning the FA Cup was way more important. I'm getting sick and tired of this top four sort of scenario where teams sort of, you know, scramble in at the last minute. I'm not talking about Leicester, but I'm talking about in general, where teams scramble in, they go into this freaking knockout process that most of them get biffed out of anyway, and then at the end, when we tally it all up, we pretty much have the same teams most time, apart from the odd occasion. So I think sometimes, yeah, there's a monetary aspect to it. There's apparently a gravitas aspect to it in terms of signing players. Not sure how much there is. But just going to Wembley in front of fans last week and winning and the manner in which they did, trust me, for their players in that club, that's way more important than what's going to happen, I think, at the weekend. And I think they can take some solace from that.
Quick picks then, Craig. Who's qualifying top four?
Right, off the back of that, I'm going to say I'm going to say Liverpool and Chelsea.
Jan?
Liverpool, but Chelsea are very tight, but they will still make it.
Ian?
Yeah, I think that they'll both win. I think it might be tight for Chelsea. I think Liverpool probably win quite easily against Crystal Palace, the form they're in.
Yep.
But yeah, Chelsea.
Stevie, you don't know.
No. I'm afraid I can't disagree with a word.
Well, as Ian mentioned, this could be Harry Kane's last game for Spurs in that clash against Leicester. Of course, it has been the big story that has dominated the headlines over the last few days after it broke that he was going to hand in a transfer request. In that interview that he's given, more of it was exposed today, talking, just kind of flirting with City, completely going, I watch the balls that Kevin De Bruyne could deliver me, and I would love to be in that situation. Ian, what have you made of the way this has played out and how do you see it ending?
Well, it's pretty clear Harry Kane wants to go. So I don't think Daniel Levy, for all that he plays hardball on every transfer, I'm not sure that they can really hold on to him. What they'll want to get now is to get the correct fee for him. And I would say probably in this COVID climate that we're in, anything over £100 million would probably get it done because they don't want to keep an unhappy player. And you know what? Nobody at Tottenham Hotspur, none of the fans should have any bad feelings about Harry Kane. He's given the best years of his career to that club. He's entitled now to make a move and go somewhere where he has much more potential of winning trophies. And he's looked around and he's at Manchester City. So it's almost come and get me, isn't it? This is getting leaked out. And he's talking about De Bruyne. So it's a question of whether City want to go for him. It's hard to imagine that they wouldn't, if they can afford it. And it's hard to imagine that they can't afford it, bearing in mind who owns the club.
What are you hearing, Jan?
I'm just hearing that these players, they, what we're talking about, when they take the next step, and we'll probably talk about Sancho and Haaland next season maybe, you'll always see where you are at your career. And that is something, it's nothing against Manchester United. But if Harry Kane looks around, and I think Manchester United done well this season, they're second in league, but it's nothing to show me that they will win the Premier League next season. There's nothing to show me that they will win the Champions League next season. And Harry Kane, at this stage of his career, he wants to win titles. That's why he wants to leave Tottenham, because he knows he can't win any big titles with Tottenham Hotspurs. And sometimes I feel that is a bit under-communicated when people got linked to different kind of players at the stage of their career when you know they want to win titles. Mm. And it's obvious that the most likely club to win titles, if you just see now, I mean, I thought Liverpool would win the Premier League. It was wrong. Manchester City won it. But still, if you look at it now, when you're going to make a decision where you're going to play next season, you will either go to Manchester City or Liverpool and maybe Chelsea, because they will spend money, or they've shown last transfer window they will spend money. And that is a lot under-communicated on these players.
Put like that, Craig, it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, and fair play to him. I mean, you know, he probably should have gone 3 years ago, but the fact that they had a decent manager at the time and a half-decent squad, they obviously got to a Champions League final. They were somewhat competitive a couple of times in the Premier League and faltered at the end. So you kind of understood 3 years ago why he maybe have hung around, because there was some potential. There's no sign of that really at Spurs. They're flapping around from one place to the next. We don't know what they're going to do. So absolutely fair play. Needs to get out now. And you know, if you had a choice, you go to the team that's ready made. That you know what you're going to get. You know you're going to be competing in every competition. We were talking about potentially winning the quadruple a couple of months ago or whatever it was. So yeah, it's just up to the people now that can do a deal. But I think Daniel Levy is, the boys have been saying, is going to have to accept that Harry Kane's going to move to another club, and he's just going to have to fight tooth and nail to get what he can get. And then everybody moves on, but he really has to make that move now, because he could easily have done it 2 or 3 years ago.
Say that move's happened, Stevie. That's kind of a big kick up the backside for Liverpool, isn't it? To sort themselves out in the summer to remain competitive with a Manchester City with Harry Kane.
Well, it's not just Liverpool, but it's everybody else, because the side who are the best side, no question, Man City have been the best side, have gotten better. So that is going to force all the other teams, particularly Liverpool, to go and spend money. The problem is, it's money that, as far as we know, they don't have. And actually, other than Haaland, who's available? So, if
Well, City... Jadon Sancho, for example, would that be someone that...
Jadon Sancho, in my opinion, is not Harry Kane. I think you're talking about another level. Mm. Listen, is Jadon Sancho a great player? Yes, Jadon Sancho's good. Would he make Liverpool as good? Maybe. He's not going to make them better. That means they're still behind Manchester City, though. Because they've signed Harry Kane. So the rest of them are going to have to get the scouts out and try and find some players.
I tell you what, Dan. Liverpool should be careful if they're resting on the laurels with their manager, because he was a really aggravated Jurgen Klopp this season, primarily because the injuries. But the other side was that he kept being told there was no money to go out and replace those long-term injuries. Now, it's all ifs and buts, but if some of the top players go to the other big European clubs, and certainly the ones that are rivaling Liverpool domestically, that's saying to me that this manager's going to say sooner rather than later, listen, I've had enough of this. We've came in, I've given you everything you need, I've shown you what we can do, but if you're not going to back me while the Canes of this world and all these other players go to these clubs, then what's the point of me staying here? So I think Liverpool have to be careful of their ownership, that they're, yeah, obviously there's budgets, but they have to be making sure they're dipping as deep into their pockets as they can. Otherwise, they're going to run the risk of this manager being very, very frustrated.
Yeah, I think that I don't agree with Steve. I think that Sancho will make Liverpool better, because I think they need that freshness. I think they need that kind of player to kind of liven up the other players in the team. Jurgen Klopp, as Craig's saying, will be frustrated because he wanted to have players in last summer, couldn't get them. And I think that what is more annoying for him is not that they're getting the players, but the other teams that they are supposed to compete with are getting the best players. And sometimes, we talked about that before with the boys, is that Jurgen Klopp is a victim of his own success, because he made good players into great players. And when the American owners will tell him, you don't have money. So I think that could be a signal. And it's also with Sancho the same thing, that he is in another level of his career than Harry Kane. He's like 22 or something. So he doesn't have to get those titles now. So he can go to a club. So I think that he will fit even more to Manchester United, because they certainly are desperate for a player who can freshen them up and liven them up and give them some flair.
Just a reminder, you can keep up to date with all the latest transfer news, which is dominated by Harry Kane, of course, at the moment, over on the website. Just click on Transfer Talk. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Ian, you were given the thankless task of picking your best 11. Never controversial, never any issues. Take us through it.
Well, there will be issues. It's meant to be for a bit of playful banter, for a bit of a laugh at the end of the season.
Have you seen
Twitter? It won't do that, will it? So, Kasper Schmeichel, fantastic saves in the FA Cup final, more or less won Leicester City the Cup. Matty Cash, you can argue about that. I think he's been great for a Premier League debut season for Aston Villa. Diaz and Stones, has to be them, doesn't it? Luke Shaw, terrific for Manchester United. De Bruyne, Rice, Gundogan, that's a fair old midfield. And then Fernandes and Mount behind Harry Kane. Okay, no Jack Grealish, but he missed nearly 3 months of the season. Otherwise, I think he would have been pushing pretty strongly. And you could argue about N'Golo Kante and one or two others. But I think that team would take a bit of beating.
No, not bad. Stevie, are you happy with that? No Salah strikes me. Mount over Salah?
No, I have no problem with that. Listen, I think Mount's absolutely been Chelsea's best player all season. Most consistent. Is in the middle of everything that's good about Chelsea. I think that's fine. The only one to maybe argue is Cash. And actually, the only person I could think who may be better than him was Luke Ayling at Leeds United.
Right.
But other than that, I think that's a good, solid, strong team. No question.
Manchester United fans maybe suggest Maguire over Stones, Ian.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't argue. And I think you saw when Manchester United played the other night without Harry Maguire, and this is a worry for the Europa final, that they didn't look great without him. So that's a concern. Yeah, I wouldn't argue. It's there and it's up for debate. It's just my idea.
In your laissez-faire attitude to this 11 is a little concerning.
He's trying to apologise without any of a goal yet.
Yeah, no Norwegians, obviously.
It's unbelievable when Ian walks into your dressing room and tell you this is the team we're going to play today, but it's not... I just done it for a joke, and I'm not sure if
I'm not sure if it's the manager. Best. I didn't know it's only a manager.
I'm not even sure if this is the best team I got, and so on. But I like the team. I'm glad you put Mount in. I think he's been brilliant. There is a freshness of him that I love to see. Gundogan is having a fantastic season. I will agree on Stones and Diaz. I think that has been the key to them, that Manchester City look good at the back. But Gundogan and De Bruyne in midfield, there, how they balance that Manchester City team is unbelievable. So it's not a worse team. You could say that a certain Liverpool keeper, when he starts scoring goals as well, he could probably have made a squad of Ian, but hey, this is not a team to win games. It's just a make a joke, the manager told us. So how can we argue in that?
Craig, jealous that he wasn't asked to do this.
Yeah, I was sitting in the house waiting on the email, but it never arrived. I took Thomas Suchek, I think, could get a mention with the season he had at West Ham.
Yeah.
Scoring goals. And I think the other guy, obvious, captain obvious, but the second half of the season, I thought Kyle Walker was superb. But yeah, obviously had some issues in the first half of the season. So, obviously, Ian's tallying us up over the season, I have no argument.
Yeah, second half of the season, you would think that Jesse Lingard would get into your squad at least, Ian.
Second half of the season, but we're judging it over the whole of the season. I can't imagine that people would be so much in agreement. I think I'm going to apply for one of these £4 million a year manager's jobs.
Hey, our Spurs. Ian Dark on the Spurs.
He pitched Michael in because he won them the FA Cup final.
Well, that's true. That's not the Premier League,
is it? What's that got to do with the Premier League?
Yeah, that's true, Ian.
Well, it is true, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
He's caved in already.
You could spend hours.
Well, we're not doing it again.
This, but we won't.
Who's your manager,
we're not doing it again.
Who's your manager, Ian, by the way?
Oh, that is a good one. Who's your manager?
I think you're going to go David Moyes this season, haven't you?
No.
What job you start with? Bielsa.
I think if he made top four, you would.
Oh, yeah, Bielsa. Yeah, he's been great too.
Ah, oh, Guardiola won the league. Meanwhile, the worst 11, Ian.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Oh, well, this is a horrible thing to be asked, but I was asked to produce this, so I didn't really want to be firing arrows at professional footballers. I mean, these are all useful players when they're in top form. I would suggest that little list there are players who haven't had a great season for one reason or another season. But I think there's a couple there who must be in any list, and that is Van de Beek. Sorry to say, it's gone horribly wrong for him at Manchester United. He just can't get any game time at all. And Mendy, not near, is he, for Manchester City? Not for any big game, and I think Pep Guardiola doesn't trust him. Brian Fraser's the guy who I think it was a bad look. He wouldn't play last season for Bournemouth when they're in a relegation scrap, because he wanted a transfer and didn't want to get unfit. He's gone to Newcastle. He's not often been fit there. And when he has played, he hasn't made any impact. Aubameyang, well, just not been himself this season. And so on and so forth. Rian Brewster, £20 million player. They took a punt on him, Sheffield United. He hasn't scored a goal.
Craig?
Yeah, wait, I tell you what, there's a big gaping hole here in Ian's team. of one of the biggest letdowns in the last, I don't know how many years in terms of a transfer. How the hell did Gareth Bale not get in that side, Ian? Because he has been a monstrous waste of time and money this season, has he not?
He did score a few goals, though. He scored a few good goals.
Yeah, against
when
Marine.
He was used. I agree. he was close to the team. He was close.
Jan, anyone you want to throw under the bus here?
I just feel that Ian, when you can see, he put Arsenal in top four and then he got Aubameyang in disappointment. He kind of balanced that. But I think that there have been some, for example, my former club, Sheffield United, you have a go, you need a striker, you take one in for £20 million. I mean, that is a big disappointment, of course. And Aubameyang, I think that is a... that is a symbol of the season of Arsenal Football Club. Aubameyang at his best, and at the finals last season, he was brilliant. But he's been way beyond what you can expect. And he's a captain as well for Arsenal. And the things this season, not good. And I understand for Ian, that was a tough task to make the worst team in the Premiership.
And surely
the manager, Ian, has... to... Ian, and surely the manager has to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, surely.
He'd be your manager, Craig, wouldn't he? He'd definitely be your manager.
Where's Jan?
No. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wasn't sitting next to Guardiola for 2-3 years, so we can't fire him.
Arteta does have lovely hair.
We better not make it Sam Allardyce, otherwise he'll be telling us off and giving another lecture to the media about how we've got him all wrong.
Stevie, any last words?
Thanks, Darkie. That was very, very, very enlightening.
Enlightening.
Something wrong with your ears.
Ian and Jan will be back for extra time, which, as always, you can check out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meanwhile, silverware up for grabs in Scotland on Saturday. St Johnstone, of course, not that. Rangers taking on Hibernian. That game live at 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN+. Who's going to win that, Stephen?
Hibernian.
Can you name any of their players?
No.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much. Stay tuned.
Thanks,
Extra
Dad.
Time is yeah. next.
Thanks, Dad. Thank you.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie Nicol with us here in the studio. We also welcome Ian Dark and Jan Agafyortov. Ian has got new headphones, which somebody told you not to touch them, Ian, or let them fall out because it would hang up the call. How are you dealing with this whole situation?
Badly. I think it's like the International Space Station trying to work these out. The power's gone now, you see, so... I'll be better next time.
All right, so they've gone. You've ditched them completely.
Yep, but they'll be back soon.
Meanwhile, Jan is here. Can we take the full shot of Jan? Because I noticed this during the show. it looks like David Beckham is kind of a voyeur in the background, just staring through that Norwegian shirt, looking at you, Jan.
That is Henning Berg. You remember him?
Is that not David Beckham?
Yeah.
And then we have David Beckham as well. This is my son's room.
Why are you moving? And, I don't know why you're moving like that, Jan.
I've just showed the shirt. Sorry about that.
We can see. We can see. We're just Beckham there.
Hey.
Beckham looks, the Norwegian V looks like he's got a big blue smile.
Yeah. You know, we always smile, you know. A great country, a lot of oil and gas. We're okay.
Yes.
Is that Coventry City in the background, Jan?
No, that's the away shirt of the Norwegian team.
Okay.
That is, right. Okay.
You thought it was Brian Kilcline's shirt.
Craig. Craig's
yeah,
not here.
Yeah.
Stevie,
him, yeah.
Are Scotland the top dark horses in this year's Euros?
Why? They can't laugh.
So, can you tell me, what is the definition of a dark horse?
So that's someone
that actually might win it?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Not a dark horse.
No chance.
Not a
what
chance.
What success for Scotland? Scoring a goal?
No.
Winning a game. Oh, if they win a game,
right,
that's a start.
That's a success.
I mean, unbelievable success would be qualifying
right
for the group.
Yeah.
But that's unlikely. But okay, just a win. Get a win.
Get a win. Jan, why is there no talk about Bielsa for a top job like Juve, Real Madrid or Spurs? Like the Spurs are with Real Madrid and Juve. As he doesn't have a contract next season.
Well, I don't think they dare to speak to him. I mean, imagine they go up there and they ask him the wrong question. But I think that he's very happy that he just takes jobs. It's not people come to him and ask for jobs. He will ask for the jobs he wants. And if you see some of the club, I mean, Juve, I mean, what an appointment that was. I was a big, big fan of Pirlo. But you can't have a coach for a big team like Juve. You've been coached for 3 days in the under-21 team. Mm. And I mean, if people say that, I got 100 tweets and they say, oh, Pirlo is this and Pirlo is that. No. You're looking for big managers for big clubs. And don't come with the Guardiola kind of thing that he was at Barcelona. That was not the same, not even close.
Just try and put in context how popular Bielsa is in Leeds, Ian.
Oh, he's a messiah. Nothing short of a messiah in Leeds. You know, he has charmed not only Leeds and Yorkshire, the area where Leeds is, but he's charmed the whole of England without really speaking a word of English, for which he very charmingly apologised the other day. I just think he's been great, and his team have been a breath of fresh air.
You got to wonder, though, right? The way he plays the game.
Yeah.
If he goes to a UV or one of the big teams, are those players going to accept the way he wants to
point.
Play
yeah.
week in and week out? It's okay with the national team, where they just met up for 3 or 4 days at a time, and they could go all guns blazing every time they had an international, and then they go back to the club team. But if you get like a Man City, a squad like Man City, are you going to be able to have them doing that
right
time after time? And it's in the same way that we complained about Mourinho, are the Spurs players going to want to be defending and defending week after week, and eventually they'd had enough?
You'd be good under Bielsa, wouldn't it? You can just go all day.
Yeah, but you can't have 11 runners.
Right.
You need different.
No,
the best teams have different types of players. And if you've got 11 runners, then you can have Bielsa as your manager all day, because they'll just keep running.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll get somebody else in who can run as well. But
I think it's a very...
It's
a very valid point, Dan, that Steve is making there, because sometimes you see the so-called clever coaches when they come to a club with their philosophy, with their way of playing and everything. But the most important thing you do as a new manager at a club, we're talking about Nagelsmann coming to Bayern Munich, for example, you have to win the dressing room. We are talking a lot about losing the dressing room, but you also have to win the dressing room. And you can't be too clever the first 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Because sometimes they say we footballers are stupid. They say that about some footballers. But there is one thing that footballers are very clever at, is that to see when a coach is not don't have the credibility that he's playing a game. So you have to win and build a platform before you start with all that kind of philosophy and different systems. You have to be a leader.
Jan, did you have an agent during your playing days, or did you do negotiations yourself like Kevin De Bruyne? Which way is better?
Yes, I never had an agent. I didn't do that because I felt I didn't need it. But when it came to negotiations, I was a part of that. But when I was in England, I used the PFA. They had good skills. Des Bremner, remember him from Aston Villa, was working for PFA. He helped me out a lot of times. When I came to Germany, to Eintracht Frankfurt, I kind of was negotiating the package, so to say. And when we kind of agreed on a package, I used a German lawyer. So I went through my career without the agent, and I think that did me well because it kind of shaped me, developed me also as a human being, and those kind of things that sometimes you have to do alone.
Stevie, you had an agent, yeah?
Yeah, I had an agent, so I never developed as a human being.
My favourite story is the Northern Ireland manager who was asked by a player making his debut, what's the situation about win bonuses, boss? He said, well, the situation's pretty clear. We never win, so there are no win bonuses.
What percent would your agent get? Do you remember? I'm sure you remember.
10%?
10%. Was that kind of standard?
Yeah. I thought that was all right, aye.
Ian, was there ever...
By the way, then let me tell you why. So the reason why I think that is OK is because the way I figured, if I was doing it myself,
yeah,
I would end up getting less than he would get for me.
Yes.
So the 10% actually paid for itself.
Yeah, Steve,
I still ended up with more.
I love the way you justify that in your head, giving somebody 10%. So 30 years later.
Well, no, it's because I remember thinking, hold on a minute, why am I going to give somebody 10%?
Steve,
and then I thought, well, the truth is, he's actually going to get more. And it's going to be more than the 10% that I would have got for myself.
Good, but there was a lot of internal dialogue going on about that.
He just developed as a human being, Dan.
That development is there, yes.
Never too late to start.
I noticed nobody's asking Dan about his contract and who negotiates it.
So you can have this or leave. I was going, all right, who else is going to take me? Ian, was there ever an odd course of events happening in a football match that as a commentator you really couldn't explain to an audience?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, well, loads this season with all those lines. The microscopic offside decisions. I think once or twice this season, I've just said on the commentary, look, we've all stopped trying to understand how this works. We'll just wait for the outcome, whatever it may be. I think they need to have a proper sit down with the whole VAR thing. It's here to stay, but it does need modifying and clarifying.
Ian, what did you say in 66 when Jeff Hurst scored that goal?
It was clearly over the line, Jan. Way over the line. That's why he turned away. You're a striker, Jan, you know. He turned,
they think it's all
he?
Over.
Turns
it
away
is
from
now.
It and,
they
and
think
start
it's all
celebrating.
Over.
2 feet over the line.
Jan, what was with the many coaching change announcement for next year in the Bundesliga this past year? As a Frankfurt fan, I was disgusted to see them miss out on a Champions League place shortly after Hutter's announcement to leave for Gladbach. It's clear it had an effect on the players.
Well, I think it's a very good question, because what happened in Germany this season was not good. I mean, you have these clauses, fair enough that you have them, but the announcement, you saw them, with Marco Rose in Gladbach, was leading the project of Gladbach. You had Nagelsmann in Leipzig. When that turned into him being a Bayern manager, he went down for them. And Adi Hütter as well in Gladbach. And at that time, they were on a Champions League position. I'm doing a lot of interviews for Frankfurt journalists at the moment, how much that affected them. But it's clear, when you have a coach that is leading the project they said yes to, then first, Bobic is leaving, fair, he's been there for many years, going back to Berlin, you want to build up something there. Then Adi Hütter leaves for a club way beyond on the table. Of course that affected the players. I mean, the players could say that it didn't affect them. Of course it did. And I don't like that. But I'm not sure how it's going to be regulated, because if everybody knows the secret, so to say. You could wait till the summer and they don't get a new manager. But I think that at the end, that cost Frankfurt the Champions League position. Having said that, without Adi Hütter, they will never be in a position and blah, 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 blah. But still, it's not a good thing that that happened in the middle of the season.
Final, we've got so many more questions, but this has gone on forever. Final question. Stevie, how do you feel about Diaz winning Football Writers Player of the Year since you were the last defender to win it in 1989?
Ooh.
Your crown has been taken.
Not at all.
How does it affect you as a human being?
I don't know. I haven't made that step yet. No, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think he deserves it. And I'm glad to see that. You know, in today's game, it always seems to be about attack and going forward. And I'm always complaining about how so many defenders, and particularly in the Premier League and the top leagues, they can't defend. And so for a guy as a defender to win that award, number one tells you how good he is. And as far as me being a defender,
yeah,
I'm glad to be in the same club as him.
What do you think he pays his agent?
I'd say it'd be more than 10%.
You think so? But I think he could make more than the 10% that he was going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen to him. He's going to be using that the next time he goes for a contract. Yeah. He'll be like,
what's an agent
going
to do with me?
He'll be coming up to me going, oh, Stevie, I'm so glad the advice you gave me to get an agent and get an extra 10% because I wouldn't have got that. And so that 10% is negated by, oh, thank you, Stevie.
Negated
as well, right?
What?
Yeah, I'll send you the meaning letter.
Big words. All right, guys, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Of course, the last weekend of action across Europe. As always, you can join us tomorrow. We'll be reflecting on that final day of the season in La Liga.